This week on The Inswinger.
The players still like Ange. I feel like they still play for him. They're just letting themselves down, if anything, which is why it's a tricky situation. But they're in trouble big time.
I felt a bit sorry for him, to be honest. I thought Pep chucked him into the deep end. It's a big game.
That's the thing. He has the chance to become, to eclipse Stevie G.
They're in a European chase now. I mean, level on points with Chelsea. I did not think I would be saying that like a month ago.
Welcome back to the Inswinger Podcast, Season 4, Episode 14. I'm Charlie DiMatteo, joined alongside
Harrison McGlashan.
Couple of teams held serve this week. A big win for Bournemouth over Nottingham Forest, finally kind of knocking them off their pedestal. We're going to get into those results. City picked up a win with some new signings against Chelsea. And we're going to give our team of the season so far, as we're just past the halfway point of this Premier League campaign. But let's start at the Vitality Stadium on the south coast of England with Andoni Iraola and Bournemouth, who smacked Nottingham Forest 5-0. I think it was a Ouattara hat trick. Clivert got another goal. They just dismantled Forest, but it was a really stark reminder of the work that Iraola has done since he came into this job at Bournemouth. What were your takeaways from this game and just the statement they put on and Iraola's overall job at Bournemouth? It's been really impressive.
Super impressive. They're in a European chase now. I mean, level on points with Chelsea. I did not think I would be saying that like a month ago when Chelsea were, you know, maybe going for the title, top four surely, and Bournemouth were sort of chugging along mid-table. But they've been steady. I mean, since those first 10 games of last season where we came in and we thought, ooh, it's just a bit shaky. It's not really clicking. And then they hit some form. And since then, they've just been so steady, front to back. The signings they've made, I mean, David Moyes used to say, you live and die by your recruitment. And Bournemouth are another great sort of, you know, one of these hipster examples like Brighton and Brentford. You have to chuck them in there in that bracket of they've got it right. And it's not just with the players. We all questioned them letting Gary O'Neill go and why that might have been the wrong decision. He kept him up. Everyone said he did a great job. Now Gary O'Neill has lost his job at Wolves. They hired Iraola, and he's taken them into challenging for a European place. This is Bournemouth, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a team that has a tiny little stadium. It's always memed on the internet, the away end at Bournemouth, with like 2,000 fans or whatever it is.
I think it's
like
800.
Yeah, it's insane. And they're in seventh. So for this team to be even in a European conversation is sensational. I want to talk about Justin Clivert. I think this guy has been unbelievable. And he's been around the block.
He's
not one of these sort of burst onto the scene young players. He's played for Ajax and Roma. And it never really clicked for him. There was always some potential, but maybe the name was getting him the big moves. And he's come to Bournemouth. And, you know, I wasn't sort of super bullish on the signing. He clearly has a bit of talent. But Iraola has gotten some unbelievable performances out of this guy. Semenyo as well. We know how good he is. Really risen to be sort of the talisman of this team in the absence of Solanke. Ouattara as well has sort of come back out of nowhere and hit some form. David Brooks is back playing again, which is great. Tyler Adams is back playing again. Even Kepa in goal has been steady. The back line, Kerkez, now touted for a big move maybe in the summer. So, listen, they've got it so right in the recruiting department. He's gotten it so right on the pitch. They're a brilliant pressing side, which is sort of what you want in an intense Premier League team. They're good to watch. They're good at the back. They're great in attack. I mean, I don't have many bad things to say about Bournemouth. And listen, Forest, we know, are no mugs. They're having an unbelievable season. And they wipe the floor with them. I mean, they're really dangerous, this Bournemouth team. So credit to Iraola. I think he's going to be a guy chucked around for a big move in the summer.
Yeah, and I think a lot of credit has to go to the board for Bournemouth because, like you said, they took a lot of flack when they sacked Gary O'Neill, who we all thought did a pretty good job at Bournemouth. But I think, like you said, a lot of credit has to go to the recruitment because you look at the amount of money teams like United and Spurs and Chelsea spend on players we think are good, and it just doesn't work out. And you have to have that harmony between recruitment and the style the manager wants to play. And that's something they've nailed. And I think a lot of clubs could do very well to look at Bournemouth and see what they've done and take a hint from it, whether that be, you know, West Ham or Everton or whoever it may be. But getting people in the positions at board level who can sign players they know will match with the manager, and having the manager involved, not having that disconnect which plagues so many teams. And it was a startling result against Nottingham Forest, because we've seen Forest so calm, so steady at the back with Milenkovic. He's been great. You know, we like that team a lot. They've just overperformed like crazy, even more so than Bournemouth. And then what Bournemouth were able to do, I feel like it was not a matter of time. I think Forest were due for a poor result. I don't think any of us expected it would be this poor, and to Bournemouth. And Bournemouth, you know, we say it's just Bournemouth. Under Eddie Howe a few years back, they were a pretty competitive team before they eventually went down. And they were actually unlucky to go down in that COVID year, if you remember. There was that goal at Villa Park where the Hawkeye technology was not working. And Villa should have had a goal conceded. They were playing Sheffield United. And, like, that was the difference with them and Bournemouth. And Villa ended up staying up. Obviously, we've seen what they've gone on to do. But Bournemouth have had successful periods in time. The DNA is there. That being said, it was a different ownership group. Now you have Bill Taylor, or Bill something. The guy who owns the Las Vegas Golden Knights is there. Michael B. Jordan's a minority owner.
Yeah, Americans. Yeah.
Great feeling around the club. And, yeah, he's one of the Americans. It doesn't seem like a Todd Boehly figure. He's been asked about playing Premier League games in the U.S., and he's denied it. He seems like he's very respectful of the culture. So it seems like a very well it's a great match. But like you said, the question now will be, and this is so unfortunate that we have to have this conversation, how long can they keep hold of Iraola? But you'd like to think, like at Brighton, the infrastructure is there to replace him and then be sustainable with their recruitment going forward. So you hope that's the situation with Bournemouth. Excellent result for them. Excellent season for them. Let's move on to a team not having an excellent season and a manager not having a great campaign at all. That's Ange Postecoglou and Tottenham. We had an in-depth conversation about them last week, and we kind of said, how long are they going to give them? How much worse is it going to get? Losing at home to Leicester, who had lost seven on the bounce after being up 1-0, it's not maybe not rock bottom, but it's pretty darn close. And my view of them keeping him to the end of the season, I genuinely think is in jeopardy if results continue to go like this. You can't lose to a team like this at home when you're Tottenham.
No, and I think Leicester are one of the teams that are likely to go down, obviously. I think the streak they were on, the goal difference they have, the points total they have, there's just no excuse at home, especially leading at halftime. So I'm with you. I can't quite find an angle to give him some credit for with this result. Even with the last result, Everton, they were poor. It's getting worse and worse. They haven't brought any players. They have to, I think. Listen, Ange or no Ange, this team needs reinforcements at the back. They've got two center backs who, you know, I mean, no center back really, maybe Van Dijk, but even he's had injury problems, can stay fit for 38 games plus Europe. You need options, right, if you're going to compete. So we know recruitment is sort of a problem. But, and I think a lot of people are making this point, it's still not good enough, even the injuries. You have to be, you just can't drop two to Leicester and not get back in that game leading 1-0. I just can't wrap my head around it, why they're this bad, why they just can't quite get over the line. Because we talked about it last week, like, their goal difference is plus 9. Like, they shouldn't, they're not a bottom half team.
They lose close games and win by a lot when they do win.
Yeah, exactly. And we know the problems are at, you know, their own end of the pitch. I think that's pretty obvious. I think their attack is good. I think Richarlison's a fine backup for Solanke. Yeah, Son's taken a step back, but Kulusevski's been playing really well. Madison's great. So there are players there.
Yeah, the
can
guys
win
are there.
Games.
We know that. Yeah.
So I know defensively it's a problem, but you still should have enough to break this hoodoo and go and beat a Leicester or even an Everton. You know, and that's coming from me. It's really not good enough. I think Europa League, they will go through. I think they got to do some damage in that competition to really keep the feel-good factor alive at Spurs, because it's getting ugly.
It is getting ugly, and Ange's press conferences are not helping, because the whole mate attitude, like last year, was like fun for like a week, and then even when results are going well, it was like, all right, we get it, you say mate. Now he's kind of getting angry with journalists, and the vibe, like you said, at the club is really taking a dip. With that being said, I do still think there's a way that Spurs can salvage the season because, like we said, if he wins a trophy, it's all forgiven.
Yeah.
He's the Messiah, like you said. They're in a semifinal. If they get fit at the right time and they get a nice draw, we'll see who comes down from the Champions League. Crazier things have happened than Spurs winning the Europa League. You could see them winning the Europa League at their best. They're not at their best right now, but they're also not at full fitness. So maybe that's the best case scenario, and that's the argument why you keep them around. And like we talked about last week, I don't want to repeat this. You know, who are you really going to bring in right now? And you know, it's easy to say just get someone in as an interim to salvage something, but are you really? Like, I feel like the players still like Ange. Feel like they still play for him. They're just letting themselves down, if anything, which is why it's such a tricky situation. But they're in trouble big time because teams like United, West Ham, having such turmoil this season, and Spurs are right there with them and below them, which is kind of crazy. So that's it on Spurs. I want to move on to it was the big clash this weekend at the Etihad, Man City and Chelsea. Man City have been splashed in the cash this January, and I mean, the Chargers are still looming. They don't really seem to care. Apparently, they've got cash to spend. Omar Marmoush of Frankfurt came in, Kushanov from RC Lens, and I think Victor Reich from, I think, a Brazilian club, he's coming in. They're spending well over $100 million, maybe even close to $150 this January, which is pretty unheard of for the January window. They beat Chelsea 3-1. They went down thanks to an early goal from Noni Madueke after a mistake from Kushanov. What did you make of Kushanov's debut and these new Man City signings?
I felt a bit sorry for him, to be honest. I thought Pep chucked him into the deep end. It's a big game. First game in the Premier League. He's a young kid playing center back. It's not an easy task. And to be fair to him, you know, he finally sort of got his feet settled after, you know, the opening 20 minutes where he had an absolute shocker. I mean, there's no other way to say it. But listen, I don't want to be too harsh on the guy. Like, he's only just come in. He's one for the future. They have other center backs too. I mean,
just
I know
not fit.
They're just not fit. So I hope that he's not going to have to play every single game for the rest of the season for his sake. I mean, Stones should be fit now. He took him off after 60 minutes. So let's hope that he can add some experience to the back line with maybe a Kanji and whoever else can be fit for them, because it is a bit of an injury problem they have back there. But listen, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how good this guy can be. I can't say I've seen much of him. He had a shocking first 30 minutes. Then he steadied up a little bit, and we'll see what happens. It was a good win for Man City. I think they needed it, especially, Jesus, after that first 5 minutes with the, you know, with the shocker of a goal they conceded. Fair play to them for bouncing back. I still don't think they look quite the Man City of old, but listen, they took care of business. Chelsea, I thought, were a little bit disappointing. I thought City were there for the taking, given, you know, the midfield issues we've sort of talked about. But listen, they got the win, thank God, for Kuzminov's sake.
Yeah.
Marmoush was there. We can talk about him, too. I thought he did okay. Looks pacey. Maybe could be a game changer for them. Who knows? But I'm not, you know, uber confident that they can do much beyond fourth this year, Man City. I still think that there are issues there. I still think the midfield is a bit easy to play through, and I'm surprised Chelsea didn't take more advantage of that.
Yeah, these new signings for Man City are a bit weird for me. It almost seems like they're panic buys, not in that they're poor investments, but just the amount of money they're spending in this period of time after the poor results doesn't quite seem like the calculated, assured Man City recruitment that we've seen in the past. And Shiki, whatever his name is, Bagiristan is leaving. This is his last season. And so much of Man City's success has been down to the recruitment. And, you know, I think Graham Lasso said it, you know, on commentary. They don't waste money on players. So when you see a guy like Kushanov, he comes in, doesn't look that big. He's for a center back in the Premier League. You question how sustainable that is for the money they're spending. And we'll see what happens with these Chargers. I think it's a really interesting time to be looking at Man City because they just haven't spent this money in such a small period of time, in a long time. You know, they've had big summers before.
They don't do it in January.
They don't. They really don't, which is why it was so interesting. Marmoush, I think, looks really bright. He looked pacey.
Yeah.
He looked up to the speed of the Premier League, which you could not say for Kushanov. He's going to be really interesting because I think, I mean, talk about Man City and how much success they've had, but a couple of big mistakes, I think. You know, hindsight's 2020, but letting rid of Cole Palmer, letting rid of getting rid of Julian Alvarez, both in hindsight are extremely bad moves because, yes, Haaland is brilliant and he's still leading the Premier League in goal tallies. He's going to get his. But I think they, at least for Alvarez, they really undervalued what he brought to the team and they're trying to replace it with Marmoush. Yeah. But that's an expensive replace. They got the money for Alvarez. So it's about the same. But is it really worth
what's
that?
What's the point?
What's the point, right? That's why I question this pattern with Man City. It's just not what we're used to with them. It seems like they're always two steps ahead. And that really hasn't been the case this summer into this winter. So interesting to look at them. We'll see if they can get fit. Maybe they make a run in the Champions League, but they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, they got to take care of Bruges.
There. Yeah,
I mean,
they
got to. No gimme.
No.
Bruges away. it's at home.
The new Champions League format. I mean, they blew a 2-0 lead to PSG. That was a massive result. You know, credit to them for bouncing back from that midweek and coming back to get a win against Chelsea. But yeah, interesting for Man City. And I agree with you. I don't think they're really in it beyond top four. Champions League, we'll see. They've got to get hot. Anything can happen. You don't want to face Man City in the knockout stages, that's for sure, especially given their past record. So we'll keep an eye on Man City. All right, let's move on to our random, not-so-random segment of the week. We're about 23 games into this Premier League season, so we're going to give our team of the season so far. We're not going to do a draft. I think we're just going to each give our 11. I've got 11 guys out, and a manager I think we should do as well.
Should we do it combined? Should we discuss each?
We can discuss.
Pick?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. All right, so let's start in goal. Who is your goalie nominee? A couple interesting shouts here.
Yeah, kind of tricky this year. I feel like it wasn't the usual suspects because Allison's been out. Raya, you could maybe chuck in there. Ederson, I don't think so. So I went for Matt Sells. I think Forrest have been brilliant. He's had 9 clean sheets, which is monstrous. And I think he's a really good shot stopper. I think he's been a great signing for them. It was sort of between him and I had Pickford in the mix, and I just went with Sells just because Forrest have had a much better season than Everton, obviously, and have they're sort of a better version of us, to be honest. And yeah, I think he's been really, really steady back there.
Yeah, I was tempted to pick Sells. I think I had him as like my underrated player when we did that 11 earlier. I don't hate it. I'm looking at some stats here on FB Ref. I'm looking at post-shot expected G minus goals allowed, which kind of gives the tale of, you know, shots saved based on how likely they were to go in. And the guy who's in third has played 19 times for Bournemouth, and it's Kepa.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just think looking at these stats, he's really making a difference. And I like Sells, but he's about average. He's kind of performed to average, which I think is more of a testament to Bournemouth's defense, or to Forest's defense, rather. That's my shout. What do you think?
He hasn't played as much as Sells. It's tough with Kepa because I still have the Chelsea goggles on from how bad he was there. But I think you make a good point.
Yeah.
I think Sells, in terms of just making saves, might have the edge.
Okay.
As an out and out keeper.
Yeah, let's go with Sells. Forrest have been.
I feel quite
brilliant.
Good about that.
All right, right back. I kind of went basic here.
Yeah, me too.
I went Trent.
Same.
He's world-class in this day. You'd like to think they get that contract sorted. Madrid are out peeping, talking. Bellingham's trying to poach him. I think he stays. I think he does. I think if they win the league, I mean, maybe that he wins going out, winning the league. That'd be something. What do you think?
I had him as well. I don't know, man. I think he goes.
Really?
Yeah, I think he goes. I think it's taking too long. It's January. I don't know. I haven't heard many rumblings. And I think he's the obvious keep because of his age profile. But I just think he's got his eye on Madrid. I think I could just picture him in the white shirt. I think he likes the glitz and the glam of it. He said he wants to win a Ballon d'Or as a right back and be the only one to do so. So the place to kind of do that is Madrid. And I think the league is a more of an incentive to go because then it's like, I've done it.
Yeah.
Go out on a high. I've won two
leagues.
He's
won everything, yeah.
Let's, you know, Klopp's not here. I love Slot, but, you know, see you later.
I also think there's a world where he goes to Madrid for 4 or 5 years and comes back to Liverpool, a legend.
Yeah.
of the game, but not of Liverpool. That's the thing. That's he has the chance to become, to eclipse Stevie G.
Yeah.
If he stays at Liverpool throughout his career, wins multiple Premier Leagues, maybe multiple Champions League, that's what's on the table here.
Yeah, I just feel like he would have signed by now if he was that. I don't know.
FSG,
I could be wrong.
They're weird. They operate
maybe
not
it's more
best.
The club than the player. Maybe.
I think that could be it.
Could be.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Center backs, there are some shouts, but I just can't look past these two guys who I just think are two of the best center defenders in the league. I went for Van Dijk, who I think is back to his absolute best. And I went for Saliba because I think this Arsenal team, who we've discussed, who are not scoring the goals they always have, rely on him and Gabriel a bit more. And I think he's just Rolls Royce. He dominates the game, reads it so well. He's physical. He's quick. He's the modern-day center back. So I went for those two.
I went with Tarkowski. No, I'm just kidding. I went Van Dijk as well. I went Gabriel just because I think it's hard to separate them. I really do. I think Gabriel's so good. And I think
Nick's a goal, too.
That's what put it over the line for me. I'm happy with Saliba. I can give you that one. But, yeah, Van Dijk's a shoe-in. And I think Gabriel and Saliba are just a little bit better than Konate. But I think it's any of those four are sort of fair for this. But, yeah, we can go Van Dijk and Saliba.
Cool.
I think they probably are the two best center backs in the league.
Yeah. I mean, you have to say in the world. Like, I don't really know who's competing with them. Just beasts. All right. Left back, always an interesting one. There's a couple of underground kind of shouts. I was thinking about Robinson, maybe. Fulham, I love him, but I'm taking off the America tinted glasses.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Milos Krkej of Bournemouth. This is a guy who I had seen a couple years ago. West Ham played AZ Alkmaar in the Conference League, and he was their left back, and then Bournemouth signed him the next summer. I was like, oh, that's a good bit of business. Had a pretty solid campaign last year. I think he's taken his level up a notch. He's gotten some praise because of the transfer rumors, just because of the need. There's so many teams need a left back. So I went with Krkej. You can make a shout, I think, for Robertson again. Arsenal, it's kind of been a rotating door with Luis Skelly and Calafiori. So I went with Krkej, just kind of a fun shout.
I was thinking him too. I went Gvardiol.
Mm.
I know City haven't been brilliant, but I think he's been really good.
Really good.
I think he's got 5 goals and from left back, and he's a center back.
Yeah, and the way he played against Chelsea, he's popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
So
gets forward, and we know how good of an out-and-out defender he is too. We saw that in the World Cup. I thought that was why they signed him.
Mm.
They hadn't even played him at center back, but he is a steady defender at left back, and he bombs on. I think he's been really good. He's physical. He's been a mainstay in the City team. You know? I think he's been good.
I'll go with that shout because I think the inconsistency within City, he's kind of been one of those guys that stuck around and put in good shifts. He got a goal this weekend, didn't he? Missed a couple chances. He found himself like through. I thought I was watching like a game of FIFA. Like, the left back made clean on goal a couple times.
Yeah.
So we'll go with Gvardiol. All right, midfield. I'm not gonna lie. I had trouble here.
Me too.
I was looking at the Liverpool players. I was looking at the Arsenal players. I have a guy from Forest. Some interesting shouts here. I'll start with my most defensive midfielder. I went with Caicedo.
Yeah, me too.
I think with the money Chelsea paid, you're seeing the player we thought we had seen at Brighton. He settled with Maresca, kind of built a relationship with Fernandez, bit of Lavia in there. I think he's been stellar.
I had Caicedo as well. I think he's been great. I think he's one of these guys. Him and Palmer have to play for Chelsea every week. You have to find a way to put them in the team. They are in the team. They play every week. So I know the cliche, you know, first name on the team sheet, but he's that guy now for Chelsea. He's brilliant defensively, and he's also good on the ball. I think he really sort of dictates the play for them. Great ball winner. So yeah, I think Caicedo, I think, is a good pick. Gravenberch, shout out. But I think, man, I got to tell you, I really like Caicedo this season.
Yeah.
I think he's been excellent.
Yeah, okay. The other player I have down now is Gibbs White as like a number 10. Just because I wanted to get another Forest player in here. I think he's always been quality, but he's popping up with that quality in the final third. As for the third midfielder, I mean, I have a name written down. But I don't really buy it. I have Tielemans.
Oh, you've got a shocker here.
I'm kind of – who did I forget?
Cole Palmer.
I think of him as more as an attacker, no? He plays right wing.
I have him at Cam.
He's my right wing.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
Yeah. But, okay, let's fix the midfield. You want to play Palmer.
So I have Caicedo, Palmer. I had Declan Rice. I'm not totally sold on it. But I thought, I feel like a lot of the, when I'm playing Palmer at 10, I couldn't go Palmer and, I mean, maybe Gibbs White, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit punchy. I was thinking maybe Kulusevski, but sometimes he plays on the right, you know. So I feel like the good midfielders have been, like, number 10s, and I wanted to only pick one. I still think Rice has been really solid, to
be
honest. Yeah,
now that you say it, he's been, I mean, his quality from set pieces cannot be underrated.
Yeah.
All of almost all of Arsenal's success is down to that delivery, and he nails it every single time.
He's, like,
so.
Kind of the ultimate box-to-box midfielder now.
Yeah.
I think he's had a... I mean, I don't want to say underrated because it costs a lot of money. We all know he's great, but it's almost like we expect it from Rice now, and like nobody really talks about it anymore. We saw him have a great season last year. He's doing it again, I think. And I know Arsenal haven't been, you know, super impressive, but I think Rice as like a number eight has been as good as anyone in the
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point because we're kind of used to him. We're used to Arsenal being up there now. It's kind of lost in the weeds how solid he's been. So I'm happy with that. So we'll go Rice, Caicedo. I'll put Palmer at the 10.
Okay.
And I've got another name here that
we can
because
my
put.
Right wing I can give is Salah.
Yeah, Salah.
So
my front three was kind of going to be like just three of the best players.
Okay, fair enough.
So I also had Salah at right wing. I mean, nothing more to say. He's unreal at this age.
Already? It's insane.
And another dilemma that we've talked about with Liverpool – contract coming up. I don't really know what the right answer is. Gonna be interesting to see what they do.
I think he goes probably too.
I think he probably does too. I think probably takes the Saudi money now.
Yeah.
Because they were in for him heavy a couple years ago.
If they
win
the league, especially, like, he's achieved everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, that's two league titles, Champions League title, Carabao, FA Cup. That's a great career at Liverpool. You're a Premier League legend. I mean, does he want to be, you know, rise in the scoring charts a little more? Maybe, but. You know, he is. I have a feeling he'll go to the Arab world, as I say.
And that I'll be waiting for my £90 million for Mohamed Kudus from Liverpool.
That's
as
right.
The replacement.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do striker. I went for Alexander Isak.
Me too.
I think he's just brilliant. And we touched on it last week. Like, I think if Arsenal goes and buys Isak, like, he wins you the league. I think he's as close. Not as close to Thierry Henry. He's a lot like Thierry Henry. I know he wears number 14. I know it's his build, but just the way his body moves, he's kind of that skinny frame. He's brilliant, and he's one of these guys that was kind of like a wonder kid at Sociedad, at Dortmund, never really fully clicked. Even when he was good at Sociedad, he wasn't putting up crazy numbers, but he's doing it now in the Premier League for Newcastle. So I think Isak Wood is a shout, obviously, as a number 9. Haaland. But it's kind of like a bit boring.
It's boring. He is a goal ahead of Isak, I think, but...
I just think it's more impressive that Isak's doing it.
I agree.
At Newcastle.
For Newcastle than for Man City, I agree. And, yeah, there's not much to separate them. I think he's kind of more well-rounded, too, maybe, Isak?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go as... I wouldn't make the Roy Keane comment that Haaland is Sunday League.
Yeah, League One striker.
Or whatever it is.
It's all-around game.
Yeah.
No.
You look at Isak's all-around game. He can run the channel.
Yeah,
he's quick.
Yeah.
Great dribbling.
I mean, so can Haaland, to be fair. We just haven't really seen it as much in the City. He was kind of doing that at Dortmund more. But, yeah. So Salah, Isak. I've got Cunha on the left. I mean, I thought left wing was kind of tricky. But he's been great. He's been touted for a move to Arsenal, United. I think he's that good. I'm not sure... It would be the right signing for Arsenal. I think he might be better as a cam, but he's played a lot on the left for Wolves, kind of inside left, cutting in. 10 goals, 4 assists. I think he's great. Left wing was kind of tough for me.
Yeah.
You had Salah and Palmer, so you're kind of cheating.
I'm kind of cheating again with my backup. I'm playing a right winger on the left.
Yeah.
Although he may have he could play on the left a couple times. I don't that Cunha shot's interesting. I have a hard time putting a guy who's playing
with
for a
Wolves.
Team in 18th in the team of the season, but that's just me.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm going with Brian Mbeumo. I mean, I'd say that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Saka.
No.
Okay.
No, Mbeumo. I think he's class, man. He's
he is a
bit older, so I don't think you're going to see him get the big move for big money. I just think he's class, man. I think he doesn't get a lot of chances, but he takes them. I think he's got 14 goals in the season or something like that. He's fourth behind Isak, Haaland, and Salah playing for Brentford.
14 goals already?
I mean, how many goals?
I didn't realize that.
How many goals do Brentford have? Let me just look at this here.
Yeah.
Brentford have scored. All right, they've actually scored a fair bit. They scored 42. They scored 14. I think he's quality, yes. For parity's sake, in terms of being a left footer, playing him on the left.
He deserves to be in the team. I'll surrender.
I think
he
deserves a shout.
He's and Brentford deserve a player in here. They've been really good. I mean, at home they've been excellent.
Wissa as well. I think so well coached. Love Thomas Frank. And Bromo has really risen to the occasion this season in Tony's absence.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, he's,
where is
he's,
Tony?
I mean, he's old. He's 25.
Is he? Oh, I'm thinking of Wissa maybe, who's 28.
Wissa's been touted to go to Forest, yes. Which I think is a little strange.
Yeah.
For I mean, I think there's no obvious place for him in the team, and I think he could. I don't know. I think I think he might even get a better move.
Bomo, I didn't know he was 25. He could be on.
He looks old, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Manager.
I didn't even think of this.
I went for Nuno.
Yeah.
Surely. You're talking about overperforming. The wheels might come off. We've seen the beginning of it already. I just don't think you can look past a Nottingham Forest team who I bet you wouldn't have been crazy to say they're tattered for relegation. In third place, up there in the championship.
Yeah, it's got to be either Nuno or Slot, but I think the jump Forest have made versus the jump Liverpool have made is significantly greater. Iraola would be second or third pick for me, but
with you there,
yeah, you got to go Nuno.
I mean, it looked like Eddie Howe's days were kind of coming to an end. They're fifth, really underrated season from Newcastle.
Yeah,
it's just on my part. I really
Marco Silva.
Them.
Well, they're in tenth, but yeah.
But yeah, I like Silva. I really do.
I think he's got Spurs written all over him.
I think that's the move that Spurs fans would be underwhelmed by, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right answer is. I don't want to say Fulham is his level, but like I think he can get Fulham into Europe. I think that's what he can do. I really rate him. I would have loved him at West Ham too. I think him and Potter are kind of similar guys.
Yeah, similar vibe.
All right, let's go through it now. Sells in goal from Forest. Trent, VVD, Saliba, and Gvardiol. It's a solid back four. Rice, Caicedo has kind of that double pivot with Palmer ahead of them in the 10. Salah, Isak, and then we decided on Mbeumo?
Yeah, we'll give you Mbeumo.
So sorry. Two right wingers in the team.
Yeah.
I think Nuno is going to be our gaffer. That's quite the team.
Team of the season, man. That's, yeah.
We'll
I think,
see.
I think we got it spot on.
I think so.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
Leave a five-star
review. Did you want to see Cunha on the left?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll update this at the end of the season with our final team of the season. We'll see. Will Forrest still be hanging about? Will we have to include another Newcastle player or Chelsea? Are they going to make a run? We'll see. But that's going to do it for this episode. So until next time, thank you for listening.